How you doing? You okay?
I'll be fine.
Still recovering?
I mean, it's... Yeah, I'll be fine.
Talking about the Raptors getting eliminated last night.
It was a tough loss.
Yeah. And
Game
a late
seven.
Night.
I mean, when's the last time I stayed up voluntarily until 2 a.m.?
Yeah, I can't remember a time.
Definitely
voluntarily.
Not in the
last, yeah, definitely. You've definitely stayed up till 2 a.m. in the last 2 years since our daughter was born, but not voluntarily.
Okay, so yes, yes. I volunteered to stay up.
Sure.
Leisurely.
Right. That hasn't happened since
no responsibility.
Before she was born. Yeah.
I'll be all right. It's welcome to While She's Napping. I am Adam.
And I'm Cindy.
If I'm honest, if I'm dead honest about it, mm-hmm. there's a part of me that's glad it's over.
You're relieved.
Yeah, a little bit. Because
well, there was a lot going on.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we'll see what happens, but it has to end sometime. I didn't think they were going to win the championship.
Right.
So I'm just lucky I feel lucky we had it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a 7-game series.
Yeah. And the Blue Jays are still in it.
Yes and no. Yesterday they got destroyed 18-1.
Oh my God.
It should be noted we are recording this Saturday evening. Yeah, they got destroyed Friday night 18-1.
Wow. Well, so it was a bad night for Toronto.
Yeah, all around. Sorry,
hey.
I had to take a sip of my seltzer for the working man.
Still have the Bills to look forward to.
Yeah, by the time people listen to this, they're gonna know whether or not the Bills won. And
yeah.
they should win mm-hmm. Sunday. They should have won past Adam. Listening to this, they should have won.
Unlike my fantasy team, which will probably not win.
We'll see. Hey, how do you like your new microphone?
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. Cindy's been upgraded to the rival of what I have right now. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
It's a much better setup.
Yes. Yes. And glad you like it. Anyway, so hey, we're going to talk diet culture today. Hopefully, this doesn't have the same adverse effect as the fat acceptance community episode we did. And this is sort of a response to that.
Sure. It's kind of like the other side. It's kind of trying to balance out that conversation a little bit.
Well, yes and no. It's more along the lines of what the fat acceptance community would use as a defense.
Sure.
As we have seen.
Mm-hmm. But it's something that we also take issue with, that we've always found flaws in. I think it's fair to evaluate both sides.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay,
I guess.
So you have stronger feelings towards one than the other. I can tell.
A little bit.
Okay.
We'll get into it. But if you haven't listened to the Fat Acceptance Community episode that we released approximately a month ago. It's been that long.
Yeah.
Approximately a month ago. I recommend you listen to that first. Pause this episode. Go back. Dig into the archives. Listen to that episode and get the opposite, I suppose you can say, as to what we're going to talk about today. But before we do, first of all, last week's episode on fantasy football. Good episode. We got some good feedback regarding the intricacies of the fantasy football community or people's respective leagues. And I got to say, in our draft, I fucking crushed it. I ended up getting the first overall pick and I picked up Christian McCaffrey, not Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
So I have a pretty good lineup. You, on the other hand, you also have a good lineup. You're just dealing with injuries early.
Like always.
Yeah.
Every year.
So am I. Two of my starters are hurt.
I know, Courtland but before Sutton, the first game even happened.
Yes, yeah, same.
Yeah.
Cortland
yeah.
Sutton and Kenny Galladay. Mm-hmm. And the worst part is Cortland Sutton is playing Monday evening.
Oh.
So I'm just going to bench him.
Yeah. You don't really have a choice.
I have to.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck around with that. I'd rather get a 5 points than a potential zero.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have Mike Evans, and I already benched him too.
Well, he's questionable now.
I know, but my other options are playing.
By the time people listen to this, they'll know.
Yeah, they'll know. But my other options to sub in for him are playing at 1 o'clock. So I kind of have to make the decision.
Yeah, you need to know.
Early, yeah.
So anyways, if you stumbled upon this for the first time, we'd like to welcome you to the show. If you have not listened to any other content and you stumbled upon this to get some, you know, diet culture conversation into your life for some reason, we thank you and we welcome you to the show. Specifically, we'd like to thank all of the individuals that have supported us thus far. Podbean is great when it comes to the analytics. So This is just a 10-day.
Yeah.
Ready? And usually they do a month, but because we're entering a new month of September, this is just a 10-day. We'd like to thank people from the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, Austria, France, Germany, and of course, Nepal. So you guys have been crushing it for the past 10 days. We appreciate that. Specifically within the U.S., we'd like to thank everybody in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, California, Florida, Virginia, New Hampshire, Texas, Louisiana, Arizona, Georgia, New Jersey, New York, Wisconsin, and of course, parts unknown.
We have both my adopted states, Wisconsin and Florida.
Oh, there you go. So they must have known it was you. Do you introduce yourself when you call?
Just my first name.
Oh,
and the letters
your voice
are
is recognizable.
Maybe in the letter for the few that don't hang up on me.
Yeah.
And the letters, which I just started doing this week, to Florida, just have my first name and last initial.
Yeah, but the letters.
Yeah. Watch out, Wisconsin and Florida.
They're coming. Your letters are coming. So again, if you're listening, easy for me to say everything today. If you are listening to us for the first time, welcome to the show. If you stumbled upon this podcast from Instagram, Reddit, Facebook, Twitter, I don't know, any other social media platform, we appreciate the download. We appreciate the listen. And you've made it this far. If you'd like what you hear, if you like me tripping over my words, we encourage you to subscribe to the show. We're on all your favorite podcatchers. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Spotify is becoming great. I don't know. They're morphing overnight. It's going to take me a lot to move from Apple, but Spotify's, you're getting there. Castbox, we're on the YouTubes. If you guys like to consume your audio on the YouTubes. Subscribe, like, share, tell your friends about it. Tell your friends that we have two people from Rhode Island that are married that just like to talk about stuff when the daughter is sleeping. So you want to go over the socials?
Sure. You can find us on Facebook.
Facebook.com.
Facebook.com/whileshesnapping. We're on Instagram @whileshesnapping. We're on Twitter @shesnappingpod. And you can also email us whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's anything that we're about to bring up that I don't want to say strikes a chord with you, but sort of resonates with you, or that you want to clarify with us regarding a certain topic, we're open to the conversation. Again, this is sort of a follow-up to the Fat Acceptance Community episode. So I understand a lot of these things can be, I don't want to say sensitive, but, you know, people attached to them. And I'm certainly guilty of that, too. And when something works or someone falls into a groove with something, they like to defend it a lot. And I get it. And
right.
I need to say right off the bat, none of the things that we're going to talk about are meant to be a criticism. It's just sort of how I see people operate.
And we also don't have any expertise in any of these other than our own experience or secondhand, you know, from people close to us who have maybe used these different programs or diets or whatever, and some of what we know from their experiences. But I guess I just want to be clear about that huge disclaimer, because we did get that feedback after the Fat Acceptance Community episode. We have no medical or nutritional or dietitian training or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is just from our perspective, from our personal experiences.
Yeah, that's all. If it works for you, keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what is diet culture? So for me, diet culture is the pushing or the constant reminder that weight loss and fat loss trumps health, right? And they're certainly linked, but it seems that the focus is on losing fat and losing weight rather than getting healthy. And I know that sort of sounds contradictory, because when you're trying to pursue a healthy lifestyle, inevitably you are going to shed some pounds. That's
most
just
likely
inevitable.
Right.
It's impossible not to, especially if you stick with it. But I think the culture emphasizes the fat loss and sort of uses the health benefits as secondary benefits. That's secondary, my understanding.
Secondary to the physical appearance, mm-hmm. the physical results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I don't necessarily see an issue with that because, all right, so if you're focusing on the aesthetics, obviously that can lead to really consequential, you know, experiences. We talked about anorexia and stuff. I'm saying if you take this to the extreme, mm-hmm. it could lead to body dysmorphia or body image issues. But if you're saying, hey, I'd like to fit into these pants that I used to be able to fit in a couple of years ago, that's just my goal, and you hit it, and that's the end of it, I don't necessarily see a problem with that.
I do.
Why?
Okay. So I think you're right about there being extremes. There are extreme examples of people who develop different disorders or mental illness or those sorts of things around body image and weight and things like that. But I think that part of the criticism of diet culture, as we see it in the U.S. anyway, is that it's more pervasive and more common than that, that it's just the everyday person has this constant kind of nagging in the back of their mind that wherever they are in this moment is not good enough. And they should always be pursuing some sort of diet in terms of not just like eating healthy, but that you should, there's always something better to strive to in terms of your physical appearance. And I feel like there's this constant, like you can never just sit with where you are and be happy and accepting of yourself.
And, I don't think that's unhealthy. I don't think it's unhealthy for people to want to constantly increase their goal, you know?
But I think it depends on the reason. For me, I feel like if you're in good health and you live a healthy lifestyle, why do you have to get down another gene size? Like, for what reason?
Yes, yes. When it comes to waist size, I understand that. But for me, I can only speak personal experience. I know I am of a healthy weight, and I know that I'm medically healthy. If I went to get a physical, my cholesterol is fine. I'm good. I'd like to put on more muscle. That is a physical and aesthetic thing, but I'm not. It's just a goal.
Right. But I think that's less common. I think that's more of a specific sort of like niche thing that you've gotten into over a long period of time of being involved in fitness, and you've developed these kind of specific goals for yourself.
Yeah.
But I think that's beyond kind of what I'm talking about. Just like the everyday person who's not necessarily like really involved in a serious fitness regimen, but they are overall, you know, making an effort or living a physically active life. And generally eating healthy and nutritious foods, and they may not be super toned, they may not have a lot of muscle mass, whatever the case might be, but they are healthy. But maybe they, for whatever reason, diet culture has this like narrative in the back of their mind that, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't be a size 12, you should try to get into those 10s. Like, that is what I feel like is unhealthy.
Yes, but I'm going back to the original example. When someone says, hey, I'd like to fit in the jeans I used to fit in. And I'm not talking about someone in their 40s that would like to fit in the jeans when they were 16. I think that is, I'm saying someone, if they're 35, and I don't know women's waistline size, so I'll just go with men.
Okay.
If a man at age 35 is in a size 40, and he said, when I was 30, I was in a 32, I'd like to get to that. I don't see a problem with that.
I just feel like you should just, your goal should be based on where you are in your life in that moment, because chances are you said someone who was 40 and talking about how where they
a
felt
size
when they were
40.
No, but age, what'd you say?
35.
35 to 30.
Yeah.
Even so, I'm saying a lot might have changed in your life, or a lot might have your metabolism might have changed, or for women, if you've had kids, or you're, you know, nursing or whatever the case might be. I mean, there's a lot of variables as to why you might be a different size or your body might be a different shape than it was 5 years ago. So I feel like that's kind of an unfair kind of,
I'm saying that when people recognize that they've put on mass, right? And I'm saying, and
do you mean muscle mass or weight?
Weight, okay. Fat, body fat. And when you do put on an abundance of body fat, you do start to recognize that, you know, just merely sitting positions or stand, they're uncomfortable, right? And, you know, the way you were able to, I don't know, do certain tasks mm-hmm. become a little bit more challenging. I'm not saying, you know, you can't overcome them. I'm right. saying you
but you just notice.
Yeah.
You notice.
Trying to run counter to that and to better your circumstances, if that means pursuing a healthy lifestyle as exercising more, eating whole foods, and then as a byproduct of that, you do lose weight because you would.
It, right.
You just would. I don't see an issue with
that. I don't either. But that, I feel like that is different than saying, I want to fit in a different jean size. Yeah. I want to go down a couple sizes. I feel like that's like an abstract, like kind of random goal to latch onto, because the size of your jeans doesn't necessarily speak to your state of your health. Like I'm saying, someone in the situation, like you just described, like they've put on some weight, maybe 30 pounds, whatever, and they notice I'm a little out of breath when I go up the stairs, or I can't play with my kids the way I was before. Or my cholesterol's gone up a little bit, whatever the case might be, that should be your goal to increase your health so that you are living a fulfilling life and you're not feeling these side effects of whatever it is that's making you uncomfortable, if you're in pain or whatever the case might be, that I feel like getting to a point where you don't feel out of breath when you walk up the stairs, or you do feel like you can comfortably play with your kids, that should just be your goal. And it doesn't, whether or not your jean size changes, I mean, it might, but if it doesn't, chances are it would, but I just don't feel like that should be the primary goal. I don't think that should be the thing that tells you whether or not you've been successful. I feel like it should just be the pursuit of a healthy lifestyle that makes you feel fulfilled and happy and able to do all the things you want to do. And as long as that's the case, then I don't understand why there needs to be a specific goal attached to your clothing size or your physical appearance.
I don't know. I just think that it's a chicken or the egg kind of thing, right? If you're pursuing a certain waist size and you come in contact with the correct information, none of these quick fix, remedies.
But I have to pause you. Why are you pursuing a specific waist size?
Let's just say that's just how it starts off.
But why? That's what I mean. I feel like that's what diet culture is telling us that we should focus on. And I disagree with that.
Let's say you wake up and, you know, your jeans are getting tighter and tighter and tighter on you. That's an indicator that you're putting on body fat.
I understand. But if that's your only issue,
I'm just saying that is
you could also buy new jeans.
You could, but I'm saying I feel I can only speak for me. So when that has happened to me in the past, I've said to myself, I know I am, I guess, giving in to an unhealthy lifestyle. I can see myself putting on body fat. I can see myself kind of going, not downhill. I was in no danger or any health dangers. It's just I can see myself going down a path of lethargic tendencies, right? And so I said to myself, I need to start working out more. I need to eat better and I need to shed some weight so I can. And I guess not the goal wasn't to fit in these jeans.
It's more of your gauge.
It was a goal as part of this overall thing.
It sounds like that's your gauge. That's how you know if you're kind of...
I don't like weighing myself.
Yeah, no, me either. But so I kind of understand that. But at the same time, my point is simply that you could reach your goals in terms of your lifestyle and your health and your comfort in terms of being able to do all the things you want to do and feel good about your activity level and your overall health. And those jeans may still be snug. And I'm saying that's okay. Then you should just buy different jeans.
I'm not saying it's not okay. Of course it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't necessarily see an issue with someone trying to chase that goal.
I think it can. I don't think it's always problematic, but I think it definitely can be.
All right. You know, involved in this diet culture, I don't want to say phenomenon. It's more of a philosophy or
it's a culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does include a lot of these quick fix remedies. And the reason why I have an issue with these is, you know, it doesn't teach you healthy habits to live through. It can certainly lead to that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, these quick fix remedies, I feel, have the tendencies to really fuck with your body chemistry, your physiology in a way, these little nuances that you aren't aware of. And I think that's the danger when you just focus on a number on the scale, or your waistline as a result of these quick fix remedies, you haven't learned anything.
Right. Well, that was my point about, like, if you use one of these quick fixes or a diet that's extremely restrictive, it cuts out an entire like food group or entire macro or whatever the case might be. It might get you to your goal. It might get you into those genes, but it may not improve your overall health because it may have negative consequences of,
right.
It may turn into like obsessive behaviors or things like that. And it may also not be, it probably won't be effective in the long term. And it doesn't do anything for your overall health in terms of living a healthy lifestyle.
Right. I might be showing my age as a result of this, but I remember the Atkins diet.
Oh yeah.
And I'm thinking South Beach.
They're pretty much the same.
South Beach. Yeah. Yeah. Same shit. It's just low to no carbs,
right,
and high protein, high fats, or, you know, I guess whatever fats. It really doesn't matter.
I think it's just limiting the carbs is the priority.
Obviously,
that's my understanding.
If you look at that prima facie, you're saying to yourself, that doesn't make any sense. You sort of need carbohydrates
for energy,
for an energy source. But if, and again, I've never been under either of these diets, so I don't understand the nuances. But if, say, in South Beach, they say, look, it's cool to take in, you know, whole grain rice or potatoes or sweet potatoes. Those aren't off limits. What we're telling you to do is to not eat processed carbs, empty carbs. Again, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but I don't think, I think you are allowed some carbohydrates and they have to be kind of those like whole food sources.
Carbs, yeah.
But I still think they're extremely limited.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I agree with what you're saying. I'm saying, yes. I don't agree with that philosophy. I think that you're eliminating an essential macro to your diet. But for me, it's, if you learn from that, if you take that South Beach diet and say, okay, I can sort of dabble with my carbohydrates here and there and it's I'm going to be okay. I think the learning experience was a positive one, but if you're looking at carbs, all carbs, as the enemy, as something that if you ingest and you're going to get fat, I think there's a problem there.
Yeah, well, that's anxiety inducing in the first place.
I mean,
but
carbs
also,
are fine.
Yeah, it's they're part of a balanced diet. Like,
well,
I mean, a healthy
lifestyle.
Yeah.
It does depend on the carb, though. So if you're eating white bread three times a day,
right, the amount,
you might want to make a different choice.
Right. The portion and what exactly it is matters.
Yes.
There are nutritious sources of carbohydrates, yes, and there are non-nutritious, like, right, really bad, like fries or whatever, like you said, white bread. But yeah, I think the other thing is I feel like when people are on those types of diets, there's a tendency, and this is, I haven't done them before. This is, again, just through my secondhand experience with several people close to me who have used these, that it's so hyper-focused on getting to this whatever goal it is, if it's a size, you know, a clothing size or a weight, a number on the scale. And you're hyper-focused on that goal. And once you reach it, you're like, I'm going to reward myself with some carbs.
And binge.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I've reached my goal. And then you start kind of gradually reintroduce. Like, how do you even go about reintroducing that thing into your diet in a way that's not going to cause you to put the weight right back on? And that's...
Well, this goes into what I was saying about food addictions.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and we touched on this in the fat acceptance community. I do feel that that is something that is completely underdiagnosed, recognized. There's no investigation into it, or and if there is,
I don't think
it's
there's
not being,
none.
It's not being taken seriously.
I mean, I think people hear about it, and people are specifically, I think, of sugar.
Yes,
sugar addiction. That's a thing. I mean, something I've known about for a long. I remember hearing for a long time, just realizing how much sugar is in everything, like things that you wouldn't expect. Things I didn't realize when I was growing up, like things like pasta sauces and breads and
chips.
Things like that. Yeah, like things you think are savory, but actually are loaded with sugar salad dressings, like things like that. So that is one I feel like a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of. And I think there is plenty of investigation and study that, but I think people just don't admit it or don't like we don't want to see it, even though it's right in front of us.
Right. And that's indicative of being addicted to things, right? And, you know, it is almost as severe from the studies that I have researched on this as a nicotine addiction or an alcohol addiction.
You mean like the chemical addiction itself, the substance?
The craving mm-hmm. for it. And, you know, it's, you know, when I talk to people about dieting, and I tend not to, but when someone brings it to me and we start talking about it, I said, hey, it's really simple if you're trying to get healthy here. It's really simple if you're trying to cut out body fat. Just work out, you know, sort of regularly. You don't have to do this every day. You don't have to do this hours upon hours a day. We're not bodybuilders here. Work out, eat whole foods, cut out the shit. And if you're trying to lose weight, go in a slight deficit. So you know, the was it CDC or the FDA, whatever, mm-hmm. they recommend you 2,000 calories sure. a day. Just slightly be in a deficit at around 1,800.
Well, that's not one size fits all for everybody.
No. I'm saying this is a good starting point. Okay. And then you can sort of,
well,
you know,
it depends on your weight and...
Sure. Find out what works sure. for you. I'm saying in a general...
It's an easy calculation for your baseline caloric needs yeah. and what a healthy deficit would be.
Just be in a slight deficit so you're not starving yourself, but you're not taking in as many calories as you were before. Right. Work out regularly, you know, maybe 3 to 5 days a week. You'll be fine. You'll lose mm-hmm. some weight and your body will respond right. better and you'll notice it. Mm-hmm. Cut out the processed stuff. Just eat stuff from the ground and that was alive. You're good.
Yep.
Right.
And you'll have more eggs.
Make sure it's not fried.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
Potato. Yeah. Once you deep fry it.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. But I think there's also the thing that I've tried to shift in my mentality over the years is focusing on things like when you make those changes of a cleaner diet without the processed stuff and without so much sugar and everything is you do have more energy. You do just feel better.
Yes.
Like, and then with the exercise, I mean, there is an endorphin rush. You have more energy. As much as it feels like it sucks to wake up sometimes if you have to wake up super early, which I know you're super familiar with, yeah. It feels like you're so tired, but it really does give you more energy. And so those two things alone, I feel like if you don't want to focus on the physical itself, if you don't want to focus on a physical goal or the number on the scale or fitting into a certain size, if nothing else, those are benefits of just exercising and eating well.
Hmm.
Without kind of like the back of your mind nagging, like, I need to look a certain way. I need right. to whatever. Like, that doesn't even need to be part of the conversation, in my opinion. Like, it could solely just be for the quality of life.
Yeah. No, I get that. I guess why I'm bringing this to this theoretical conversation that I hardly ever have. It's just when I say, now you have to cut out the shit, mm-hmm. right? You have to do that. And they say, well, can I just do this on the weekend? Can I? And I'm saying, yes. You can, but, you know, that is sort of indicative to those addictions, right? That's sort of like, I need that reward. And I don't necessarily agree with that philosophy. I really don't, because especially with people that are unaware of their food addictions, that could lead towards more and more and more. Like, if an alcoholic is trying to recover and he says, well, I can have a shot once a week, right? No, you can't.
I still
really
think
can't.
It's a little bit different, because I feel like it completely depends on the person, because I feel like you can't just assume that everyone who wants to lose weight, and maybe they're just not in the maybe they just haven't had people around them that have been an influence in terms of, like, I'm talking about like when they grew up and their parents didn't like teach them nutritious habits, and that was the case for most of us. I mean, we did a whole episode on the 90s and like
junk food.
75% of it was talking about the processed crap that we ate.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think it's really fair to assume that everybody who doesn't eat a healthy, nutritious diet at this point is because they have a food addiction. I think
it's
a matter of changing
saying.
Your habits.
Yes. And I'm not saying it's necessarily that they have a food addiction.
Right. But I think it completely depends on the person. I think there are some people, like, I know you function this way, that it's kind of like all or nothing. Like, you can't really
90-10.
Yeah. It's very rare that you kind of let yourself indulge, and that works for you. But I feel like there are people who can, on a weekly basis, indulge. And I think it's, for a lot of people, that's healthy, that you don't feel so deprived that you end up completely binging or going off the rails or throwing in the towel altogether on a healthy lifestyle because you feel like you're missing out on life. Like, I feel like going to a birthday party, something so simple as going to a birthday party and feeling like you can't have a beer or you can't have a slice of cake or you can't have a glass of wine at the holidays or at a celebratory dinner. Like, I feel like if you're taking it to that extreme, I feel like it can definitely backfire and make you feel like you're missing out on something. Or
see, I just can't get there because I'd never feel that way. And for me, it's, you know, I'm all for cheat meals, but I think people misunderstand what a cheat meal is. So if someone goes to a restaurant and they say, all right, cheat meal time, appetizer, dinner, dessert, that's three meals.
Yeah, but you just came to that revelation very recently.
Oh, because I'm understanding about calories. I'm understanding about the amount of shit in a single serving of something, quote unquote, bad. So when someone says, oh, I'm going to have the nacho sampler or whatever, and then a burger for dinner, and then I'm going to have this slamming peanut butter cup sundae. Bro, you just had three cheat meals. You didn't have one.
You know what? Whatever.
No,
I've done it. We go to restaurant week and we have a three course meal for whatever, $34.95.
But listen.
Yeah,
listen,
you bet your ass.
When it comes to someone that is trying, I'm not talking about someone that's been in this process forever. I'm saying someone that is actively trying to lose weight from the jump, that might not be the best idea.
It might not be, or it might be the way to set them up for long-term success and doing it gradually. I know you can't because you're not like that, but I'm saying not everybody is like you.
Well, I mean, and that's for a long-term thing. There are plenty of short-term quick fixes like juice cleanses or 30-day remedies or whatever. I can't get behind those either.
Yeah, no, I am talking about just, I'm not even, this is what I'm saying is I'm not an advocate for diet culture. I don't like diets in the term of it being like a verb, like something that you do, go on a diet. I completely understand the criticism of diet culture in that sense. When I talk about diet, I'm talking about what you eat, like your diet, like as a noun. And I try to take the approach of just living a balanced lifestyle. Like, I am not going to guilt myself if I am craving chocolate for whatever reason if it's a hot summer day and we want to go down and get ice cream at our local ice cream shop, and like, I am not going to beat myself up about it.
Okay.
Like, I am just, it's okay. I generally eat healthy food. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have a glass or two of wine on the weekends.
I'm saying for someone that's struggling. You aren't struggling. I'm talking about someone that is maybe overweight to obese that is trying to lose weight and, you know, be healthier.
For the first time.
Maybe these cheat meals in the beginning aren't a good idea until you hit a certain goal, and then you can reward yourself and then continue on that process.
Maybe. I just still feel like that kind of sets you up for a yo-yo. I feel like if you do it so strictly and if you're so restricted in the beginning and you have success, I mean, that's great, but I feel like that increases the chance that once you start being less strict and you get into a more normal, balanced lifestyle, it's more likely that you'll put some weight back on.
Sure. All right. Well, I mean, I guess it's...
It completely depends on the person.
Yeah. I can see that. All right, so let's take a break here. When we come back, I do want to talk about some of the comments that were made about types.
Yeah, some of the examples.
And I have some that weren't necessarily left in the comment section, but I do want to touch on them, so just hang tight.
Okay.
So it should be noted that, and I don't necessarily know if this falls into diet culture, but for the past year, religiously, I don't think I've ever strayed from it. I have done intermittent fasting, gradually at first, and then it's tightened up. That window has tightened since Labor Day last year into now. Every single day, no cheats, no straying from it. And for me, this may fall under diet culture, but for me, it is the best thing I've ever done in terms of being disciplined, being actively limiting my caloric intake, so I don't overindulge. And it's benefited my energy levels, I feel. It's benefited my performance working out. It's benefited just my mindset as to how I look at foods. I don't know if that's something that falls into diet culture, but for me, I love it.
I think it does. I think it falls. So, well, actually, I feel like this might also bleed into kind of the larger conversation about wellness and kind of like the wellness industry. And actually, I don't even think I told you about this, but I continued watching the Netflix series that's out right now. It's Unwell. We watched the first one on essential oils because we were thinking about, did that MLM episode a while ago. So there was an episode specific to essential oils that we thought was interesting, but there's also one specifically about fasting, and it talks about fasting in all different levels, intermittent fasting to people who do like 30-day fasts.
Yeah, that's unhealthy. But
well, I'm saying you should, I wanted to actually watch it together before we did this episode, but I think for a lot of people, it does fall under this diet culture sort of like wellness industry type thing.
The thing is, though, I'm not buying anything.
That's what I was going to say. There's no product attached to it necessarily. But there are some people, I think, who it probably dovetails in with different sort of supplements and things, which I know you dabble in too with, just whey protein
basic
and
supplements.
Pre-workout, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I have mixed feelings about intermittent fasting. When you first started doing it, I thought it was terrible. I was like, you're starving yourself. Like, if you're hungry, you should eat. But I think you adjusted pretty quickly.
So what I started with was an 8-hour
eating window,
16-hour fast.
Right.
And when I first did that, it was awful. It was such an adjustment on my body that because I used to wake up, work out, and eat right away.
Right away.
And then I did some research on the anabolic window, and a lot of people are saying it's sort of a myth. There's no scientific evidence that suggests that intaking calories right after a workout or 2, 3, 4 hours.
You metabolize
hours
later, it any faster.
It doesn't benefit your muscle growth or whatever, which is my goal here. Any better
or worse.
Which
you used
to
like pound a protein shake right after your workout.
Because that's what I was told I had to do. And then I sort of looked at the studies and there is no difference.
Right.
Your body consumes it quicker, but it doesn't benefit the muscle growth any better or worse.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah. Obviously your body's going to crave it quicker because your heart rate's up, which means your metabolism.
You're actively burning calories using energy.
So the adjustment was starting to eat at, I think it was 10.
I think you did 10 to 6.
10 to 6. And that was difficult because
it
scheduling.
Sucked because it was like I had to have, and this was kind of before you started doing your own meal prep. So I was trying to, and I got home earlier than you most days. So
this is
pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get dinner ready so that you could come home and eat right away. And there were days you didn't get home until like 5:30 and you only had half an hour to eat. So if I didn't have dinner ready for you, like on the table when you get home, like so 1950s housewife, which was it's never been the dynamic of our relationship.
It wasn't,
but because you had, no, it wasn't. But I was trying to help you eat within your window because you told me you wanted to try to do this. And it was just not reasonable.
No. So I started meal prepping on Sundays, which is, so I highly recommend that for whatever you guys are doing in terms of a diet, if or a change of lifestyle when it comes to your
at all, just to make your life
prep
easier
on Sundays. It is, you know, if you have a busy lifestyle and you work and stuff and you find yourself, oh, I don't have time, I need to get fast food or something because I need food right now. Nothing's easier. Just go home, chuck something in the microwave, and you're good because you had it all made on Sunday. It's the best. But then eventually I adjusted the time. I did 11 to 7.
Right.
And over time, first of all, the results that I've gotten out of that window were immediate and it was great. It was
what do you
amazing.
Mean by results? Because you're not really trying to lose weight.
I was.
Okay.
I was trying to lose body fat mm-hmm. at the time. And this is before I started going to a gym and I was working out at home. And again, I only have an easy right. bar and dumbbells here and a bench. So for me, my progress in terms of muscle growth is going to be severely limited because of the equipment I have mm-hmm. Or rather don't have. So going on intermittent fasting with the weightlifting of, you know, not incredibly heavy weights with the lack of equipment, my fat loss went through the roof. My muscle growth didn't because I don't have the appropriate equipment to sort of kickstart that and to activate those muscle groups that are necessary to influence growth.
Okay.
So then I started going to a gym mm-hmm. on top of intermittent fasting, and my muscle growth started increasing exponentially. And I was saying, okay, this is, I'm in a groove. And then COVID.
Yeah.
And then gyms closed. And
right.
To this day, I still can't go to a gym because I have to go at 4 a.m. and they're not open until 5.
Yeah.
So I can't do it. So I'm back to working out at home and I'm trying my best to lift as heavy as possible. I shrunk it down to a 6-hour window. I went 12 to 6. And then I said, well, I need to, if I'm trying to put on muscle, I need to increase my calories. It's mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of trying to jam in like 2,200 calories in 6 hours.
Yeah,
if I do it in seven, yeah. it's much more
doable.
Yeah. So I increased it to 12 to 7. And I have no issues with it. To me, it's not a diet. To me, it's just a different way of eating that sort of has benefits. These health benefits are, it's so new.
Right. Well, so that's the thing is it's completely contradictory to what we've always been told, like when we were kids, about breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Like you have to eat breakfast. Kids
not.
Have to eat breakfast. Maybe it's different. It's probably different for kids too than adults. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying there's anyone out there saying that kids should intermittent fast.
Yeah,
that's not a thing. But I'm saying it's just we've always been brought up. I always given that message that breakfast is important. And I always ate a really big breakfast first thing in the morning. And I always had this mentality that it was better to eat more during the beginning of the day and eat a lighter, smaller dinner and not go to bed on a full stomach and all that. So this is a huge shift. But after a while, you kept telling me how much you enjoyed it. So I've tried it and I tried it for a while.
Like for a couple of months.
Yeah, a few months. And I'm it's still in the back of my mind. Like I know that I'm cheating with it because things like I have my coffee in the morning and I put milk in it.
Oh, it should be noted I switched to black.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're really, I'm not willing to do that. Like,
that's fine.
To me, it's not, the benefit does not outweigh the annoyance of not being able to have my coffee the way I want. Like,
no,
that's such a critical thing.
So
for me.
There are people out there that say if you have something with that low caloric intake,
it doesn't matter.
It's little influence.
Okay, even so. So I, you and I haven't even really talked about this, how I've kind of been gradually just getting away from it now because I was also doing the 8-hour window. I was doing 10 to 6 and that was mostly working for me. But I have lately found, like over the last month or so especially, I don't feel good doing it. Like I feel nauseous in the morning if I wait until 10 o'clock to eat because I'm up at whatever, 5:30, 6 o'clock. If I wait that long, and all I have is coffee, I feel jittery, I feel anxious, I feel nauseous, and I want to eat sooner. And if I do wait to eat until 10 o'clock, I eat my breakfast at 10, and then I don't end up eating lunch until like 2-3 o'clock, and then I'm going to have dinner at like 5, and then I'm done for the day at 6, and I'm not even hungry at the end of the day between 5 and 6 o'clock, and then I'm starving at 8 or 9 before I go to bed, and it just contributes to me being really hungry in the morning. And so for me, I'm not into it.
I get it. I will admit when you first start it, it is sort of it feels like punishment, but I've just gotten so used to it and my body has adapted to it so well that I don't even feel hungry when I eat at 12, but I say I need to, and I'm so distracted
by
the time I get to work and then till 12, a lot of the times I look up at the clock and I say, holy shit, it's 12 o'clock, I need to eat.
That's how I feel. 15. It's like 9 o'clock. I feel gross. Like I want to eat. I feel nauseous. And then I just distract myself. I get busy with work or whatever. And then I look at the clock and it's like 10:45. Yeah. But then that screws me even more because now I've shifted my window again. And it's just like, I
understand. It's not for everyone. I'm just saying for me, it's worked well.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, if I don't necessarily contribute it to diet culture. To me, it's just a different way of eating. I'm still eating whole foods in between. I'm not limiting. I mean, I am prioritizing protein, and I have carbs twice in a meal. I don't have it in my breakfast, and I'll have it for my lunch and dinner, but I certainly don't eliminate it. I tried to get all my macros in.
Yeah, you know, that whole concept is so funny. I know this sounds even silly bringing this up, but I did watch a few episodes of that Zac Efron show that's on Netflix, and it's actually pretty interesting because he's traveling all over the world, and some of the things he talks about other cultures and other countries and how they eat. And I think the episode was in Italy, and they were just talking about how there are other cultures that they mostly eat carbs, very low protein, very high carb. And people are living to 100 years old on a regular basis. Like, that's a normal thing to have a 100-year-old person.
Isn't that true? This is not a racist comment. Isn't that true for some parts of Asia?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just different cultures who have different diets, different lifestyles, tend to live longer than we do in the U.S. And I mean, I guess that's not really any surprise, but considering that the majority of Americans eat a lot of fast food and processed stuff. Yeah. But I'm just talking in general. It just struck me about the very poignant difference between the high carb, low carb, high protein, low protein concepts that we tend to focus on in the U.S. and how different that is from a lot of other cultures. So I don't necessarily, it just goes back to what we were talking about in the first half about like demonizing any one particular food group. It's I don't think that's effective.
Other things, Whole30. Whole30 is a diet plan that for 30 days, you don't intake a single carb and you prioritize real foods, no sugar.
Carbs are real foods.
I'm saying unprocessed. Other than carbs. Foods, yes. Okay. And it's supposed to have amazing results. Problem is, for me, again, that's a quick fix. What do you do after the 30 days?
Right, you gradually reintroduce it.
Jam pizza down your throat or lasagna or pasta, and I'm sure you're going to have a bad reaction to that. Mm-hmm. That is not sustainable. You cannot do, of course, okay, you can do that forever. Mm-hmm. You could.
Well, I think probably the major thing that gets eliminated from your diet when you do that is sugar.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with eliminating processed sugars from your diet.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, why does it have to be all carbs?
Yeah.
You can still eat a sweet potato. You could still eat brown rice. Yes. Like,
So I have not a huge issue with it. It's just, to me, it's an unsustainable kind of thing. Other plans, we've talked about Atkins. We talked about South Beach. One of our listeners said the Dukan diet, D-U-K-A-N diet. I looked it up. Basically what it is high protein, low carb fad diet designed by Pierre Dukan.
Okay.
It's again, that sounds like South Beach to me. Mm-hmm. That sounds like another form of Atkins.
Yeah, it's a fad diet. That's the term that we should have said. Which I side note, that's kind of, I'm curious to see where it goes with intermittent fasting, because I'm wondering if that's going to end up, if 5 years from now we're going to say, that was a fad diet.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Inevitably, that will happen.
Yeah.
But I'm just, for the benefits that it's had
on me. If you like it, if it's working for you, then great. Yeah.
Another person commented on our the Instagram page about, she had a really positive experience with Weight Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not a quick fix, but I did lose 30 pounds in 2 months just by being aware of what I was eating. Again, I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah.
I
know a lot of people who really like Weight Watchers.
So Weight Watchers to me is forcing you to become aware of what you're intaking and how much, more importantly, mm-hmm. of what you're intaking.
Yep.
What I do appreciate about Weight Watchers, especially someone that does not want to restrict their diet, is Weight Watchers isn't unrestrictive in terms of the things you can eat.
Right.
So as long as it fits into your point system, as far as I understand it, you can intake it, and it doesn't eliminate, say, fast food or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, from my understanding, is if you have X amount of points a day, I do feel like fast food would take up the majority of those points.
Right.
So,
and if you do that every day,
You're limiting.
Even if you're within your points, but you're not making good choices in terms of what you're eating, that's not good
for you. It's not nutritionally
sound. You still might lose weight, even.
You will, because there's an element of SECO in there. calories in, calories out. So you're intaking less calories inevitably.
But as long as you're following your points,
but you're not healthy.
You're not giving yourself nutritious food.
Again, this is if you're doing fast food exclusively.
Right.
But if this individual says that she was more aware of what she was eating, and if that leads to whole foods and real stuff that comes from the ground, cool. I don't have an issue with that. And if that's something that you can not follow to the T forever, but sort of be influenced by and, you know, structure your daily intake based on that, I have no issues with that at all.
Well, that's very similar to the influence that 21 Day Fix had for me. And I know we did, I already mentioned our MLM episode. Yeah. We did a whole thing about Team Beachbody and that component of the company. But I still appreciate the nutrition program from 21 Day Fix and the colored containers, and that's what I mean. It's not necessarily like restricting you to a certain point where you have an end goal and then you can go back to what you were doing before. It's the whole idea is to teach you
this is how you should eat all the
about
time.
Balance in your and general nutrition. Like it's something that I don't use the containers anymore because I don't have to. Like I learned like what it looks like on a plate and kind of like how much of each type of food I should generally aim to eat to be to have a healthy diet. That's all. Yeah.
Another comment said, I did the Master Cleanse. I didn't lose much weight.
I remember that.
I don't think I had much weight to lose at the time. And I agree you didn't. The experience all around was good. I felt fine the whole time. Didn't crave. The issue was starting back up on normal food and not absolutely ending up in pain. There you go.
She got sick.
Right. And I think we touched on that earlier about how it fucks with your physiology and your body chemistry when you go on these massive restrictions. And again, maybe intermittent fasting does fall into this because it's a time restriction rather than an intake restriction,
right?
But if you're saying I am doing nothing but
liquid,
Cleanse was like
lemonade.
Tea,
honey, it was like honey, lemon, and mint, like cayenne pepper, or something like that. Okay. Or maple syrup was in there.
That doesn't cover any macros.
No, it's really. It's a cleanse. It's a cleanse. It's like a fast. I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, to me, it's what are you cleansing?
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean about the
toxins or something.
Yes, about the wellness industry and talking about toxins and cleansing your body and detoxifying and all that.
Well,
it's like, kind of crap, in my opinion.
If the experience was good, look, I'm all for trying things out if you want to, but to say then as a result of this, and I'm not saying this individual is saying any of this. She's certainly not.
Yeah.
I'm saying those that are following these diets or these trends for 2 weeks, this Master Cleanse, and then look at food and have an adverse reaction to it and say, ooh, I don't like that. I need my juice.
Well, you're supposed to ease yourself back into eating normal food. But again, but it's like, but what did that accomplish? Like,
you were cleansed for 2 weeks,
quote
unquote,
what?
Cleansed. Like, I don't know.
But that's what I mean. I feel like a lot, especially the Master Cleanse, I don't even think it necessarily has a product tied to it. Cause like I said, it's just like a drink you make yourself.
Right? I thought it was
know, but it's like a drink you make yourself with the ingredients in your pantry. But some of these other types of cleanses, I mean, you have to buy the teas, you buy the shakes, you buy the supplement, the vitamins, whatever the case might be. And I mean, they're just making money off of you buying this crap that doesn't do anything.
Sure. Okay. I don't recommend that.
I've done it. I've done juice cleanses. I've spent the money on it.
I've never done it.
It's stupid.
I've never done
the Master Cleanse, but I've done some juice cleanses and stuff. I don't buy it.
It would make me miserable.
Yep.
MySpace with you. What's up? They said keto.
Yeah.
I think in their first episode, they said keto, bitch. So let's maintain that. Keto, again, this to me, it isn't necessarily that much different than Atkins from what I'm reading. High fat, adequate protein, low carb. I think it might be different in terms of what you're allowed to eat. And I have a feeling keto might be a little bit more liberal with the intake. I'm sure you're not going to get shot in the face if you have a potato. Under keto, or a South Beach, you might, or Atkins,
maybe,
or whatever. But again, it's to me that sort of makes sense. I personally, for me, I would flip it. I would do high protein,
you're all about
fat.
Protein.
Yeah, I would do high protein, adequate fat, low carb. I don't see an issue with that. If you're structuring your daily intake and you're looking at again, if you're not a vegetarian or whatnot and you have no restrictions here and you have a piece of meat, some sort of carb and a vegetable, right? those are your macros right there. And my issue is if you have a potato twice the size of your meat, right, I think you're doing something wrong there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a, but I don't even, without like adhering to any of these specific like names of what these diets are called or anything, you just eat vegetables, eat fruit, eat lean protein, whether you eat meat or not, eat beans, eat whatever, like eat protein and eat some carbs, like that have nutrition in them. Like don't eat empty carbs on a regular basis. Like just pasta. Eat nutritious food.
Yeah. Like, and again, keto, I don't even have an issue with keto. I've heard good things about it. Mm-hmm. I do see a lot of products that are like keto friendly or keto cereal.
There's
or
a marketing aspect.
Sure. And if that works for you, great. To me, there's no, it doesn't seem harmful.
Right. Well, I guess maybe the thing I should caveat is that I do think that having it in a structured way, or have it being called something and being able to kind of join a community behind it, or having like in the case of Weight Watchers, where you have a like meetings, or you have like a group that you normally communicate with about what you're doing.
Sounds like a cult.
It does a little bit as I'm saying that. Yeah. But I also think that it can be beneficial, just like with exercise. If you have an accountability partner, you have like a group class at the gym that you go to and you're expected to be there. I feel like and there's people who share that interest with you and can be a support system. That's all I'm saying is that, especially if you're just starting out, maybe I can understand how those kind of like structured things could be helpful, could be beneficial to make you feel like you're, you know, as you kind of, you know, get on your feet about it and get used to it, that could be helpful.
Sure.
But eventually I just feel like it's not rocket science to,
it's not sustainable
just eat
to me.
But that's what I mean. I feel like eventually once you kind of get used to it, once you kind of shift your mindset about what types of food you should make you feel good, give you that energy and make you feel, you know, make you feel full and like you've gotten good nutrition. Like you get used to that and you can kind of just eat what your body needs. I feel like that's kind of the ultimate goal.
The individual that referenced the Master Cleanse, mm-hmm. she also said the F factor diet, which I'd never heard of it until she brought it to my attention. It's a high fiber diet plan, which sounds like a whole lot of farting to me. But whatever.
Are you on that?
No. Maybe
surprised.
Accidentally. Incorporates four principles, which include eating fiber rich carbohydrates, dining out, social drinking, and working out less. It advocates using lean proteins with high fiber carbohydrates. The plan focuses on curbing the feeling of hunger and deprivation commonly associating with dieting. The F stands for fiber, which is a non-digestible part of the carbohydrates. I don't know why I'm tripping over my words. And helps people feel full. The F factor diet does not require users to cut out fat, carbs, or alcohol. So basically what I'm reading for this is, if you want to continue to party, do this.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. If you want to feel full, but not necessarily be well nourished, and you want to still fucking have a banger tomorrow night with your college friends, this will work for you.
That's what it sounds. It's literally sounds like you're describing just filling yourself with empty calories.
Yeah.
To make yourself feel full, but not actually have.
And be able to drink.
Calories or nutrition.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I don't. This was the first I'd heard of it too, was when she made us aware of it. But it doesn't sound very sustainable or healthy.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Look, I don't like to judge people when it comes to whatever kind of diet they're on. Usually when I hear someone, oh, I'm going on this diet, usually, in my experience, it doesn't last.
That's why I'm saying I don't like diet as a verb. I don't like it as a thing that
I guess
you do.
In personal experience, when I've said intermittent fasting, I've never said it as a diet.
Right.
I just always approach it as a different way of eating.
Yeah.
I still
I think that one kind of is
things,
a gray area.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just eat them at different times.
Right. Well, you're not necessarily, it's not adding any restriction to your diet necessarily, and it's not creating a calorie deficit necessarily. Like you're not.
And I'm also not binging in my window.
Mm-hmm.
I try to.
Right, it's not like you eat whatever you want within that window.
No.
You're eating nutritious food.
And don't say I don't cheat. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to have that Special K cereal.
That's right.
Pumpkin.
It's pumpkin season.
Oh, the best.
I had my mini wheats this morning.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Before 10 a.m.
My mom bought me another box. 12 p.m. That cereal. eat that shit.
Are you gonna
like
put the milk first?
Zeke Elliott. No. Oh, that's something else. Look. I tried the milk first. Can't get it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
You guys, you gotta listen to MySpace with you to get the full instructions.
I can't do it. That will be a discussion when we speak to them. All right, yeah. So look, let's wrap it up here. Did this for about an hour. I appreciate everybody listening. If you've made it this far and you've liked what you've heard, we encourage you to subscribe to the show. I promise I'm not even drunk.
It's because you were up until like 2:30 a.m. and yeah. You're really depressed about the Raptors losing.
That's true. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to the show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts fixed from, we are there. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we appreciate 5 stars and a quick review. If you want to hit us up on our socials, you can.
We're on Facebook, yep. facebook.com/whileshesnapping. On Instagram, @whileshesnapping. We're on Twitter, @shesnappingpod. Or you can email us @whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
Hit us up. Tell us what you think. Tell us what we need to work on. Tell us how Cindy's new microphone sounds.
Yeah.
From what I'm hearing, it sounds fucking fantastic. But I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. Do we figure something out or we're going to...
I think we had an idea, but I already forgot what
it
was.
All right, let's just wing it. So until next week, we'll see you guys next Monday. Thanks for listening. And hey, go Bills. They
go,
probably
no,
won.
Just root for whoever's on my fantasy team. We should post that.
All right.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.